are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Back here on a Wednesday night, Up to Me Radio, episode number 2 of season 2. I'm in San Diego, Beth out in Texas. Beth, what's going on? What are you up to? How'd you like that first half hour? Everything good? We all good?
Yeah, everything's great. It's always good to talk about healthy hearts and answer questions that our listeners have. So, right on.
This is the birthday episode. You had your birthday. You had your 29th birthday on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and then I turned 25 yesterday.
Yes, forever in our 20s.
Good to feel young and spry. So
I have to rejoice in getting older. I really do.
I do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel pretty good. So I think, I don't mind being in. I don't mind being in my mid-20s and staying there. So for me, it's good. So if people are just tuning in, you can learn more about us at uptomeradio.com. Remember, we talked about this last week. We made the transition from Atlanta Life Radio to Up to Me Radio, and it's great. So much good stuff is coming this year. So a lot of good things. You can still send us an email at goinggymfree@gmail.com, but still follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook and all of that social media stuff. Beth, I know you've
mm-hmm.
been thinking about this for a while. We were going to have a guest on, but our guest had other commitments, so we're changing this up on the fly. And I know this has been, I don't want to say a fantasy of yours, Beth, but I know that you've wanted to interview me.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to interview me so people could get to know me better. I think I've put it out there quite a bit on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, hey, I have an idea. What if I interviewed you? And I said, oh, okay.
And put you on the spot.
Okay. And put me on the spot and just ask you different things. And I said, it's a good idea, and I think maybe we'll switch it up, and I'll do an interview with you. Have we ever done an interview just with you? We'll have to do that 1 week too. But
next time a guest has to cancel last minute, we'll just interview me.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Yeah. So this is kind of a good backup plan. And you'll get to know me maybe a little better than you already do. Well, you already know me well enough, but maybe the listeners out there need to.
And that's what I really
a little more market information.
Right, and that's what I wanted to do. I mean, they hear us every week, and I know we have some faithful followers, and I thought, what better time to actually start season 2 and get to know us a little bit better? I mean, yeah, we talk about us and but, you know, our backgrounds and really what makes us tick and things like that. And, you know, this is called Up to Me Radio, so let's talk about ourselves a little bit. And so I'm actually just going to dig in and get started. So, is that
please,
okay?
You know what? You can ask me anything you want. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'll make
fire
it
away.
Okay, fire away. Well, why don't you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? Because I know inquiring minds, I know our regular listeners want to know, what is Prescott's story?
Yeah. Well, it's how much time do we have? I'll do the Reader's Digest version. So I grew up. My family is all from the East Coast, but they moved out here even before I was born. So I am the youngest. It was a blended family. So my mom and dad got divorced when I was 2, And then my mom got remarried when I was 10, so we had this blended family, and I became the youngest of four. I became the baby of the bunch, and everything worked out real well. I was here, grew up in San Diego, and I was pretty good in school. There wasn't a whole lot of drama there until I had to take math classes.
Math. Doom, doom, doom.
And so math was kind of my, geometry was kind of my demise in school. And, but it was a good upbringing. My background, I had a lot of friends. I wasn't one of the popular kids, but I wasn't one of the unpopular kids either. And always had, you know, I talk about this a lot, my love of dogs. I always had dogs growing up. I had a poodle, I had a golden retriever at one point, I had a mutt. And I was a tennis player. I played baseball. I didn't get into a whole lot of trouble growing up. So that was good. I was kind of boring in that sense. And then after high school, I went to college in Orange County, Cal State Fullerton, which is right next to Disneyland. Sometimes some people call it Cal State Disneyland. And I had some fun there. Had a good time and was a communications major because I wanted to be a TV reporter, a news and sports reporter, which I eventually did for about, you know, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so I bounced around the country. I was in Central California. Then I moved out to Arizona for a year. And then I moved out to the South. I managed a bureau for the ABC News affiliate out of Shreveport. And I was in Texarkana most of the time. And I was there for about 3.5 years. And I moved back to San Diego in 2002 when my dad got sick. So I said, you know, I'm going to be closer to my family. And I came back here with no job and ended up working at the CBS affiliate out here for about 5 years. And my dad passed in 2007. And I got really into healthcare when I was asked to create Nurse TV, when I created something called Nurse TV, which was a show about nurses and how great nurses are and all of those good things. And I started doing a lot of, patient education videos, and I created another show called Healthcare Heroes. And then after meeting tons of doctors and nurses, I decided that I wanted to take a path of helping people. And that's kind of where you came in. I don't want to take away your next question, but then I kind of got on this path of really just wanting to help people any way I could. So wellness and that kind of thing became a natural fit. So that's kind of a really tight version of it. But if you would ask me specifics, I'm sure I have other funnier stuff in there. That's the broad brush. Right there.
That is, okay. No, good stuff. Good stuff. Now, a lot of this I knew, and I guess I'm so impressed with news anchors and that people can be in front of the camera and not freeze. For me, I can't imagine being on live TV every day. I mean, oh my goodness. I think I would freeze. But how long were you in the media world?
Well, we're doing media now, so you and I. But, yeah, actually on TV probably, let's see, 14 years, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I have to hear this. I'm sure you have story after story. And I've actually heard a couple, but you have to tell one story, one great story about someone who you interviewed, whether it's a funny or whether it's a touching or whether just one great story.
Well, people want to know always what your favorite story is, and all of them kind of blended together because I over the years I covered things like Super Bowls and presidents, but actors and actresses. I remember interviewing Gina Davis, and she could only be shot when we interviewed her on one side of her face. We had to show her good side, although I thought she looked the same. Both sides.
Don't tell her that.
But right, exactly. But when we set up the camera, she said, no, I have to be shot this way. And I thought she was kidding. But we had to shoot her a certain way. So she was okay, though. And then I had the funny one that the guy that I did a couple times in Texas was Ross Perot. Remember the guy, mm-hmm. the billionaire that ran for president? And right. I do some impressions. I don't do an awesome Ross Perot, but you'll get the idea. I went in and we did an interview with him one night, and it was night, and it was dark because it's nighttime. It was dark, and we had a light on the camera, and we went to interview him, and he was agitated by the light of the camera. Mark, now. Man, you're going to have to turn that light off. Mark, now. Mark, I can't answer the questions. That light's in my face. That light's off. It was like that. And so he was, I don't want to call him Ross because we weren't buddies, but Mr. Perot was a very, very nice man to me, and did a couple
things.
Didn't
like the light.
Him. He did not like the light, and he was very agitated. So
aww.
I had that. I also had I had a baseball player snub me on a live interview 30 seconds before he was supposed to go on, and it was one of those things where we were coming out of a commercial break, and he was standing next to me, and we got a little behind schedule. And so usually the player or the live interview just stands there and waits and says, oh, okay, no big deal. But apparently he was too busy for me. And he, about 30 seconds out, he said, Mark, I got to go get a sandwich. So I got dissed for a sandwich. So
that
he said, Mark, I got to go get a sandwich. And so they, you know, because it's live, they still came out to me to do a report, but I had to fill the time. And I said, you know, Steve had to go get, you know, he had to get something to eat. So you're stuck with me. I tap danced around it. And to this day, I think it's fun. And I never held anything against that player for doing that. It was, to me, it was really funny, but he was in the midst of, you know, you have to remember when you deal with athletes, they're very, and you would know this, they're very regimented. And when it mm-hmm. came, when it comes to professional athletes and those, they're regimented about their routine, their time, when they're going to eat, et cetera. And apparently he needed to eat.
Apparently.
So,
yeah,
that extra 2 minutes was going to, it's going to kill him. But yeah, I mean, I had all kinds of funny stuff like that happen. And I interviewed a lot of interesting people. So yeah, lots of stories, and now I'm making more stories with you. So
yep.
With our interviews. Yeah.
So moving on.
Yeah.
You know, for me, my love for movement, my love for exercise, for fitness, really started with dance and gymnastics when I was little. And that really helped mold me and helped me decide I wanted to study kinesiology in college. But did you grow up in fitness and sports? And was that your thing growing up?
Yeah, but not like you. I never, what did you do? The pommel horse and the floor?
You
did you do the rings?
That. That
did you do the rings? Did you do those?
No,
can you do the rings?
Both of those are men's apparatuses and gymnastics. So no, I never did the rings, and no, I never did the pommel horse.
Oh, okay. So women don't do rings. I didn't know that. I didn't know. Even though you've probably told me that 100 times, and I'm like, it
can't
be one or the other.
I have.
Okay. So yeah, to answer your question, when I interview you next time, I'm going to ask you if you did the again, because I'm not very bright, if you did the rings and the pommel horse.
I'm just asking to answer.
Yeah, fitness. Actual fitness, probably not, but sports, baseball and tennis, especially. And as I got into high school, I played tennis all through high school. So there was a lot of fitness with that. It was a lot of running. I never loved. You're more of a runner than I am. I never loved the running part of training, but I sure did a lot of it. Especially probably from ages 14 to 18, because you had to run in tennis, and baseball, not as much, different kind of workout. But yeah, I always loved being active. It was funny. I was never, I never really got into the video games and sitting around, and you and I are, are roughly the same age. So I don't know how it was for you, but I didn't, every time I came home, I liked being outside, and especially being in San Diego, everybody wanted to be outside, and you played the sport for whatever season it was. And none of my friends really were part of that kind of video game thing either. So I was always out and about. So fitness and sports were just part of the deal. And
right.
I never even thought, did you? I mean, were you, you couldn't go outside as much because you were in Indiana, so you had the cold winters, but gymnastics is indoors, so you probably were always fine, right?
Yeah, and I didn't grow up with video games. I think I didn't grow up with it. So, and I know that's such a big thing now, but yeah, I was outside. I like to be active, a body in motion stays in motion kind of thing, and it just felt good to be active. Okay, no, that's great. So when did that, like, shift? I mean, I know you did the Healthcare Heroes. I know you did Nurse TV. So you've always been slightly interested in health and wellness. Maybe, you know, maybe not your career, but when did wellness shift in your life that you really decided to jump in with both feet and make it a career?
I don't mean to suck up to the host here, but it was kind of with you in the sense that you were working at a company a few years ago, and your company had was interested in building a video platform for a lot of its employees that were kind of fighting the chronic conditions, the diabetes and obesity, and speaking with some of those people, they'd said, you know, we'd love to have something that kind of help out our workforce, and we never really could get the video part off the ground, but you and I kind of connected through some of those meetings, and because at one point I remember them asking me, and it was because of my time, all the time I had spent. I grew up in a medical family. My dad was a medical writer, so I kind of had that background, but I came across to some of your people as they had said, well, geez, you seem to know a lot about this. Are you a doctor? Are you a nurse? And I said, no, I've just been around it a lot. And there was some interest in working with some of the employees. And when I circled back with you about it, I thought, you know, this would be kind of a cool thing to help people and to do one-on-one consults and to kind of take someone and get them healthier again seemed kind of like the next step after all that I had been doing. And then you kind of inspired me to go down that path. And then I went back and did all the certification training and, you know, to be a coach and a personal trainer. And then I went back and got some specialty certifications in, you know, pediatric diabetes and strategies and lifestyle management and all these different things. And I realize it even now that that's what I like doing is whether I'm speaking in front of a group of people or just one person. That's kind of where it's at for me. I don't think it's necessarily just wellness. It's more of wanting to just help people along that need and want the help. But it was, I mean, honestly, it was a lot of you that did it when we first met, you know, a few years back, but because you had said, hey, I think you'd be good. And you, I think you even encouraged me, like, hey, you'd be good at this. Mm-hmm. And so here I am. And now
here
I...
Here you are, now, years later.
Now I'm a guy with a dog telling people they need to get out and walk more. So,
well, okay.
But, yeah.
You know what? And that just kind of leads me into, like, my next question for you. What, for our listeners out there, I mean, maybe a bit redundant to our regulars, but what are, like, maybe... three things. What are three things that you would tell people that are at the start line and then they want to start a personal health and wellness program? What are three things you would tell them?
Three things I would tell someone that wants to start it. Okay. Are you sleeping? Are you walking? Are you drinking water? Okay. There we go. There's kind of the three things that I, three of the, of maybe five or six things. Well, those are kind of components of a program. I think that you and I would probably agree that if they have to be at that stage where they want to get started. So
right.
You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been doing this a lot longer than I have and are probably a lot better at it than I am. But for me, when I sit down with somebody or a group, it's targeting the people that want the help, that want
right.
to get started. If they don't want to get started, it's tough. It's, to me, that's the difficulty. But I start with basics. I start with, are you doing like the things I talked about? Are you drinking some water? Are you walking? Are you moving? Are you in the right? Do you have the right frame of mind to get going? What's your health? Do you have, are you a diabetic? Do you have what conditions do you have? And then I kind of take it from there. But for me, I don't know how you do it. I mean, you're wonderful at this. You really are. I just kind of take a snapshot of the person or the group or where they're at and say,
mm-hmm.
you are much better, I think, at training probably younger athletes. I've tended to gravitate towards kind of older people. But yeah, I just like to see where their head is at. And then
right.
I can get them go. Don't you kind of do that too? Or I'm not turning it back on you, but don't you kind of do that too and see where their head is at first and then.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our different styles are very, very different. I mean, I tend to go in full force and say, okay, you can't have sugar and this is why. And then people say moderation and I'm like, okay, well, what does this mean to you? Sugar is the devil's poison and it causes inflammation. And, okay, yeah, a couple times a year you can have that. And then people don't like to hear it. So I think I tend to be a little bit more strict.
You're the bad you're the bad cop.
Well, I don't know if you're the bad cop. I think absolutely having a clear picture of where someone is and where they want to go absolutely is the most important first step. So, great.
Well, you're right. And your approach is great too. And so I tend to get more of the people that would say, oh my God, I can never have sugar again. And that's when I'd bring you in there and you'd go, yes, you can never, I'm just kidding. You can never have sugar ever again. No.
And then there's some tips. There's some tips.
Yes.
What to do.
Exactly. I kind of do I kind of always have tabbed myself as a common sense moderation person.
Mm-hmm.
And I preach that a lot, but your style is terrific. You they're both good. We're both different, but you couldn't go wrong with either one of us. I don't think.
Right.
I hope not.
Okay. So I'm going to put you on the spot
a
little bit. This may be kind of, so what do you like doing in your spare time? Like what's the, and it may be geared toward your health and your fitness and your, and your wellness, but what is there some things that you like to do in your spare time?
So obviously people know I like the dog. I like walking. I like hanging out
Murray.
With the dog. I like Murray. Murray Lawrence and I like to hang out a lot. I'm very, and you've known me a long time. I love sitting around and talking to people and crunching the minutia of daily life. It's very Seinfeld-esque. I love that kind of thing. I like taking different things around the world and different problems and issues, and I love getting different people's perspective. I love that kind of thing. So I spend a lot of time going over the minor details and the fun. Yes, of life. I've never been, I'm not going to tell you that I'm a thrill seeker. When I'm not doing this radio show, I'm either jumping out of a plane or on a roller coaster I've never been that guy. I love baseball. I do side work as a baseball umpire, all levels, all the way through high school. So I enjoy that. I enjoy being part of that when I have time. I family. I have a brother that lives here. My mom is still around, and I hang out with them as much as I can. They're busy, and And I used to travel more. I haven't been traveling as much the last couple of years. But, yeah, I love meeting. It's funny, for someone that spends a lot of time alone and just thinking and reading and doing different things like that, I also love meeting new people and just talking about just different things, except politics. Now, I don't like talking about politics anymore because it's just too divisive. So I've stayed away from that. But I do, I do like the little things. I do like the little things in life. Yeah.
Great stuff. And I knew all that. So if it was like quiz on Prescott, I think I would have gotten an A+ so far.
So far, yeah, you're doing well.
You know, and we're kind of like running out of time here, so I'm going to wrap this up, and I'm going to ask you a totally off-the-grid, off-the-wall question. But if you could have one supernatural power, what would it be?
Yeah.
Last question.
Well, right now it would be for people not to post any political stuff on any social media.
Really?
That would be it. Well, no, that would be the immediate one. The immediate one would be for please people on Facebook and Twitter, stop. Just, that's my one superpower for that. No, that's kind of my funny one. What would be a superpower? Yeah, I was trying to think about this. I don't care about the ability to fly, the ability to not to pick up a check after dinner. I don't know. Maybe some kind of superpower to go around and help people, millions of people in one fell swoop. What if I could help people in one fell swoop on a seminar? Millions of people. That'd be a good superpower, right?
Wellness man.
Like a wellness superpower where you go in and then boom, a million people now know what they need to do to fight diabetes and obesity. That's kind of a boring answer, but that's a good one. I guess
that would be a very, very nice one. I'm like thinking, be two places.
What are you thinking?
At one
what would
time,
you?
Well, or be invisible?
Well, yeah, no. I'm sure there are people that would think that would like for me to be invisible. Yes. sure people would like that. Yeah, I guess going back in time would be a good one too, right? That'd be kind of like a time traveling one. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Two places at once. Is that what you said? That's good too.
I did.
That's a good one.
I'm so busy.
You're very busy. So yeah. Did you miss any questions here? Anything else you wanted to ask me?
No. I think we have wrapped up our time, and I just, I want to thank you for your time, Mark Prescott.
Wait till the tables are turned and I come up with the questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It'll be good. Yeah. We'll talk about your love for red velvet pastry.
Yeah.
How you resist that.
Mm-hmm. I do.
I'm sure people would like a superpower where they could eat whatever they want and never gain an ounce. That's probably the superpower that a lot of people wish they could have, right? Boy, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Or they could eat what they want and just always be healthy and know they're not going to have any repercussions from evil
exactly.
sugar. Yeah.
Evil sugar. So, well, this is good. I'm glad we were able to do this. And, this happens sometimes where guests just, they can't make it or something comes up. So we understand that. Luckily, you and I are very good at filling the time. So if there's anything I missed on that, you can ask me questions next week. That's your thing.
Part two.
All right. So that's going to be it. That's going to do it for this week. We'll be back again next week. Again, don't forget, you can always send us questions. goingjimfree@gmail.com. I want to thank that 60 minutes interview there from Beth as she grilled me. Those tough questions. I didn't have any time to prepare for. Thank you, Beth, for doing that. That was very sweet.
No problem.
And happy belated birthday. I hope you had a good birthday week too. So,
and same to you. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Okay, we will we'll be back next week. Until then, take care of yourself and take care of each other. We'll see you again next week. All right, guys. Bye. And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Mark in San Diego, Beth out in Texas. I've got a big show for you today. Gonna mix it up a little bit in the second half hour. But first, Beth, how are you? Good evening. What's going on?
Good evening. I'm doing well. Enjoying the spring-like weather.
It's been bad here, actually. Everything is maybe is opposite. Now we're getting rain, and it's
it hasn't been good here,
and probably nice in Texas. So to ship some of that weather over here, and we'll see if we can make something happen.
I wish I could.
Nice out here. Hey, good show, big show. We're going to talk about a couple things. Heart disease. This is a Heart Health Month or National Heart Month, right? And we know what heart disease is. It's a bad thing. It's the number one killer, right? So this good that we're going to address that topic today.
You're right. It is the leading cause of death in the United States for men and women. So great topic.
Yeah, and speaking of stuff that was tough on the heart. How about people watching the Super Bowl on Sunday and that comeback by New England? Well, did you stay up for it? I know you.
No.
you didn't even bother anything past like what 8 o'clock, and you're. That's it.
I'm out. No, I just wasn't interested in it. I mean, I kind of planned on watching some of it. But then life got in the way, and I got busy, and blah, blah, blah. So, nope, didn't watch it. But I was rooting for the Falcons, so.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
And I'll tell you, there were a lot of, in case people don't know, our station is actually located in Atlanta. So, everything is done. I'm in San Diego, Beth is in Texas, but everything kind of goes through Atlanta. So. Our producer Mel D and some of the other people there, I would imagine there were some long faces at the end of that game because they were pulling for Atlanta hard, as was I, because I always like to root for the team that has never won, and New England and the Boston area, they're gluttonous. They've won plenty of championships, so but congratulations to them, and sorry Mel D and the rest of the crew out there for taking a loss, because that wasn't fun at all for Atlanta fans. But it was fun. It was fun for me to be by myself on the couch with Murray. We enjoyed it, and it was good. So Super Bowl is over. We're on to better weather. We're on to baseball season, the college basketball tournament, things like that. So we turn the page, and that's that. So and life moves on.
The end.
As I like to say. We're going to do something interesting in the second half hour. This was your brilliant idea, I guess. I'll probably have to get back at you at some point where you decided, hey, what if we interviewed you? And you said that. You're like, oh, what if I interview you? I said, oh, okay, all right. We had a guest plan, but the guest unfortunately had to back out. So that happens sometimes. So the wise guy that Beth is said, oh, why don't we interview you, Mark? Oh, okay. And so we're going to do that in the second half hour. Did you enjoy coming up with that? You pulled that one out of the holster at the last second.
I did. I thought, you know what, instead of just rambling for an hour, which I could do, which you could do, let's just go ahead, you know, and we have some consistent followers, so why not them let them in our lives a little bit. So next time someone cancels, you can interview me. How's that?
I'm going to. And the questions are going to be, I'm going to grill you. It's going to be,
go for it.
It's going to be 60 minutes-esque. Hardcore.
Bring
tough,
it on,
tough,
buddy.
Tough questions. So, so we're going to do that. We're going to do that in the second half hour. We're going to have a lot of fun. And again, if people are just joining us, they can still, you guys can still email us at goingjimfree@gmail.com. Don't forget about all the social media. Follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram. And again, we mentioned this last week, but if you didn't catch it last week, we made the transition from Atlanta Life Radio to Up to Me Radio.com. So it's just up and then the number 2 me radio .com. And we've made the transition with that as well on social media. So make sure you check that out and stay current with us. A lot of big things happening in season 2 for us. So you can follow us on that social media, see what we're doing, see the transition, and it's been a lot of fun. It's growing by leaps and bounds, which is good. And so, yeah, we're excited about that. So stay on top of it. Send us emails, questions, comments, concerns. See how best interview skills are of me. You can mention that if you wanna go ahead and send that in. Before we get started on the aspect Beth segment, easy for me to say. How have you been doing out there, Beth? You've been busy. You've been teaching people and doing
yes.
The whole wellness thing out there.
Yes, and the whole wellness thing, super duper uber busy. I mean, this time of year, people are really into wellness, and my goal this year is to not let people, you know, at that 6th, 7th, 8th week drop off. So I have been blowing and going. It's been interesting.
Yeah, no, and we kind of talked about it a little bit last week. Is where, and I've done a couple of seminars in the past couple of weeks. February is kind of an interesting month for, and maybe you can talk about this a little bit too. Is kind of that month where the resolutions are gone, right? Everybody, now we're kind of back into the flow. So people get excited in January and they're going to turn over a new leaf. And then by January 18th, 19th, 20th, somewhere in that neighborhood, they're back. They're back to the old ways. So February is a key month, I think, for change and motivation and all of that stuff. So we're going to stay on top of that. And I know that's probably why you're so busy, or one of the reasons, I guess. So,
yeah.
Anyway, okay. So, what do you want to do now? You want to do the Ask Beth segment?
Yeah, I really think we should talk about heart disease. I mean, even if
heart
we don't
disease.
Have
yeah.
time
well,
for the
we'll,
Ask Beth,
we'll,
I think
talk
that's
about too.
So,
yeah, let's talk about it. What do you
want to?
I was gonna say, what you got some good key points here about this.
Well, yeah, I just want to tell, you know, folks, our listeners, what it is and you know, how, and the symptoms to look for, and then how to prevent and, you know, and things not to do in your life. But, you know, heart disease is, like we said a few minutes ago, it's the number one killer in the United States of adults. So it's a condition caused by the buildup of waxy plaque in arteries that flow to and from the heart. And it gets worse. And this occurs when the small blood vessels that supply blood and oxygen to the heart narrow and sometimes harden, which over time can cause ruptures, heart attacks, and other really nasty, you know, conditions. So I think the thing that people think of is, well, I'm on a beta blocker, or I'm on a clot-busting prescription, or my doctor implanted, you know, a balloon to open up the arteries and bypass surgeries. You know, they've all been on the rise. And as a result, heart disease is considered to be more of a chronic than maybe, you know, not necessarily a fatal condition, but these treatments are really resolving the symptoms rather than underlining the causes of the disease. So
right.
I thought, you know, so let's talk what we do. Let's talk. I mean, okay, first let's talk about maybe some of the symptoms that people may have if they do have heart disease, and maybe that's a feeling of heaviness or like someone is squeezing your heart. I think, you know, pain or numbness in your breastbone, your neck, your arms, stomach, upper back, shortness of breath and fatigue with activity, just, you know, walking to and from the car, being like out of breath, and then just general weakness. Those are typically the signs that are leading up to heart disease. So that's kind of my two cents then, and then we can really talk about what to do and what not to eat and things like that too.
And what would you suggest to people that – they think they might have a little bit of pain, but they say, you know, maybe it's just some heartburn. Maybe I ate something. Maybe it's not too serious. What would you say to people that have said, you know, last week I've just been feeling kind of tired, and, you know, I've kind of had a pain here and there come and go. I guess, you know, what I try to tell people is be as proactive as possible. Don't ignore anything.
Absolutely.
Right. So, what would you say to the person that says, yeah, I'm fine. I'm okay. It's just a little heartburn. And
well, definitely have the doctor check you out. I mean, common sense plays a part of it, but if you're immediately feeling this, take a baby aspirin and get to the, you know, an urgent care. That's exactly what I would say.
Yeah, I worry about that because it's the leading killer, and you read these stories, you hear about these stories all the time where people just fall down and that's it. And
right.
they've maybe ignored the symptoms, the warning signs. And it's something where I try to tell people, and I hate to keep using the word proactive, but you have to be with something like that. So don't ignore anything and recognize the symptoms and all that stuff. So we're going to talk about more. We'll probably have a couple other guests on this month throughout February to talk more about it and how to take care of your heart and people will see things all throughout the month of I think it's wear red, right? People wear red for heart health and
Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, great month. I know there's a lot of walks and runs in San Diego that they do for it. So we'll have a couple other experts on throughout the month next month or so and talk more about it. So it's always a top priority.
Let's talk a little bit about what somebody can do, just take a few minutes on what someone can do, and then we can like really drill down and even talk more about this next week. But, just five things. Don't smoke.
Yep.
Keep your stress levels down. Exercise at least three times a week. I'm going to say the minimum is three times a week, 30 minutes, but I'd like to see it more like 3 hours a week. So, and there's just so many benefits, too many to talk about the benefits of exercise just in this show, but, exercise helps restore and maintain cardiovascular health by improving blood flow and bringing oxygen to your cells and managing hormones, blood sugar levels, and helping you relax. So the exercise is so important, really, really important. And then the last thing is to eat healthy. There's so many whole, natural, healthy foods that are available in common grocery stores anymore, and they can help reverse heart disease, lower your risk for developing various forms of cardiovascular disorders. So, just really eating healthy. And we can talk maybe next week a little bit about foods that help reduce inflammation and therefore the risk of heart disease. So but those are just kind of like four things that someone can do today to start that.
Yeah, and I've even told some of my and those are spot on. And I've even told because you know how I am about my walking and all that, I've even told some people – because yours is right on with the three times a week, 30 minutes. But I tell a lot of people, I say 30 minutes a day. So, I'm talking 5-6 days a week. If we're just talking, if they're cleared to be able to do that, I say, if you have time to walk 30 minutes a day, you get 150 minutes in a week. Is that the right my math? Yeah. I'm doing the math in my head. I try to tell people, look, if you can do it, do 30 minutes a day, every day, even weekends. Do 210 minutes.
Right.
And if they can't, but you said the minimum is good. If you can get out three times and take that walk for 30 minutes just to get the heart rate up, I think is great. If you can do that and eat kind of healthy, prevention is key, just like with anything else. So those were good five reminders. Okay, well let's move on because I want to make sure we squeeze these great questions in before we have to go to the break. So are you ready to put on your Ask Beth hat? Are you ready for that?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Good. So I'm going to throw questions at you. All right. Here we go. Here's the first one. Beth, you always talk about interval training. I really enjoy jogging and don't like lifting weights that much. Can I get the same benefits? And I don't want to give up my cardio. That's from Jan Wesselman.
First off, I would never tell someone to do something that they hate or stop doing something they love. But I really do encourage folks to try high intensity training or HIIT training, which is combining short, high-intensity bursts of exercise, like the cardio, like the jogging that you like, with the slow recovery phase. Maybe the strength training can be in that. And, just kind of repeat that for, 30 minutes. So, and basically it's down at 85 to 100% of one's maximum heart rate. So I personally, you have to strength train. You really do. I mean, unless you have an injury or whatnot, I really think that the interval training that I do push is just so many benefits to it. I mean, essentially, burst training, as I like to call it, can be done anywhere. The benefits are amazing. It's really good, you know, to take off weight, to be burn, lean, you know, body fat, and to make lean muscle. So if you like your cardio, continue with it. Absolutely continue with it. But the interval training, which you can do your cardio, but really adding that strength training is so important. So, I mean, this type of exercise creates a kind of a bigger metabolic afterburn, more so than just aerobic training. So, as well as increasing bone, muscle density and metabolism. So that is why, my friends, why I always say interval training and strength training is so important.
Yeah, no, it's true. Here's a question, because I know this is a hot topic about kind of going gluten-free or limiting gluten. Holly Johnson has a question saying, I'm trying to limit gluten in my diet, but can I have oats?
Well, gluten is a mixture of proteins and wheat, rye, and barley. Oats don't have gluten, but they can be contaminated. So if someone's like on a gluten-free diet and they just don't want to eat gluten because it's kind of the healthier way to eat, then yeah, you can just make sure it's the steel cut oats. But if you have a gluten sensitivity, like maybe kind of gassy or celiac or colitis, and you need to be on a strict gluten-free diet, then stay away from oats.
Okay, so off with the oats then.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you do have a gluten sensitivity, which most of us do. So I know that's not going to be a popular answer, but yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Here's another one. I've noticed that I've been down or my mood has been all over the place the last few weeks after eating really healthy and exercising every day. Why is that? From Deborah Tingle. That's a great question.
You know, I think that's just kind of a real personal thing, but I would say people who change their eating habits or start working out usually feel really good in the beginning while they're passionate about their goals and they're getting after it. But then after, you know, a few weeks, maybe it's a mild depression or feeling down, you know, maybe that can set in, making food choices or the trip to the gym a tougher decision to make. So that could be it, like you're just not as gung-ho about it. I mean, you're still doing it, but maybe it's just not right there, you know, the first thing you think about when you wake up. Or maybe
sure.
You might be feeling a little resentful. Maybe you're missing the foods that you once liked. I mean, they're called comfort foods for a reason.
Right.
Or it could be maybe you're experiencing low levels of serotonin, which can make people feel down. So make sure you're getting enough healthy carbs from the fruits and veggies, moving every day and getting at least 7 to 9 hours of sleep is what I would recommend. And if you're still feeling down, maybe talk to your doctor saying my serotonin's a little bit out of whack, or because there's definitely some natural ways or some, you know, medicine that can help you.
And you'd probably agree with me that, you know, change is always, it's always interesting, or I don't want to say bad or good or either way, but something always comes with change, right? When you're transitioning. So you have to, you have to expect maybe something to go on maybe with your mood a little bit, or you're going to have those moments where, you know, it's change. So I don't have you know, I don't know if I'd look too deep into that stuff, but you're right. I mean, if you're changing for the better like that, maybe it's just time to take a deep breath. Let it pass. You know, I know that's kind of keeping it simple, but I guess if a bad mood or something keeps up, then you start to maybe be a little concerned about it. But I you know, at a certain point, I think you're okay. And so good. Just let it pass, and hopefully you've changed your lifestyle for the positive, and see what happens. Okay, that was my two cents. But Beth answered that. But you answered it better. Okay, last one. Is there any other way to work out that doesn't require me to be on my feet? I'm not able to walk, stand for more than 10 minutes at a time. I have CRPS in my foot, and just putting on shoes hurts. That's from Carl Dyer.
Okay. That's a tough one, because if it hurts to put on shoes, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, standing and walking, and wow, that's a tough one. And what that is basically a malfunction of the nerve, kind of like maybe what you would think carpal tunnel is, but you can get it anywhere on your body. So, I mean, I would recommend trying to do maybe burst intervals. I talked about that just a few minutes ago, but maybe on a recumbent bike. or doing exercise from the floor on your knees, maybe like plank walls or push-ups or maybe even yoga. And then another great exercise for you until that's, the inflammation is gone is actually swimming. So that's what I
would
recommend.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I would say, I didn't mean to interrupt you there too. I would say swimming would be great if there could, if you can find, I know it's February, but, you know, an indoor pool would be great.
Right.
I always found, this is my advice on any injury I've had, because I've had, maybe not to the extent of this gentleman, I've had foot injuries. I've had plantar fasciitis in both feet at different times. And it is, not only is it painful, but
it's horrible.
It's horrible, yeah. But it's really frustrating, even when you control the pain, because you say, I still want to work out. I want to do something. I just want to at least go for a walk. So foot pain is terrible. But I've found with any injury I've had, even when I was more of an athlete, that the pool was great. Like the pool, to me, swimming was always the equalizer, because you can do everything in a pool non-weight bearing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was like, oh, I hurt my arm or my hamstring hurts or anything that it was. I felt like no matter what, I could just get in a pool and get 20 to 30 minutes. And even if you're not swimming like hardcore Michael Phelps type laps, just getting the movement and light movement I thought was perfect. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I would suggest swimming, and water's great.
The end.
The end. I would say water. I would say, if I was talking to Carl, that's what I would say. I think one of the biggest problems is people, they tend to give up. I can't walk, I can't run, I can't do this, blah,
right.
Too cold out, blah, blah, blah. No, you can't have an excuse. Try to find a pool. Or like you said, do some gentle yoga on the floor is good too. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the ideal thing. So, yeah. Any other good exercises for something like that? I think you kind of nailed it.
Yeah, just getting rid of that inflammation is going to be key. And then once you do that, we could, you know, write back in and we can give you some more advice.
Right. So those were some good questions. We always encourage people to write in, send an email, do whatever to get a question. And we will, of course, try to read it on the air and get the expertise of Beth, our lovely wellness expert.
And Mark.
Yeah. Now, yeah, You've got the good gentle touch with it. I kind of come in and which I'm a little more harsh, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, get in the pool. Just jump in the pool.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. So I think that's good. We're good for the first half hour here, for a good first segment. So in the second half hour, we got a special treat. Beth is going to interview me.
Woo-hoo!
So I know she's excited about that. So I can't wait to hear some of those questions. So stay with us. Here's what we're going to do. We take a quick break, and we will be right back after this. Stay with us. You're listening to Let's Talk Going Gym Free on a Wednesday night. We'll be right back.